This is episode number 42 of the Merry Podcast, Christmas from Italy. You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
I want to live again, and I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless...
Yeah, there's a lot of bad isms floating around this world, but one of the worst is commercial. Makeup, even in Brooklyn it's the same.
That thing had nine lives, she just spent them all.
Woo! I triple dog dare you!
I don't believe you're an angel. I think you're a demon right out of...
Oh, Henry, don't say that.
Does someone need a hug?
Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Sentimental hogwash.
What was the last thing you and Charlie did before you went to bed Christmas Eve?
We shared a bowl of sugar, some shots of brown liquor, played with my shotguns, field dressed a cat, looked for women.
I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Doo-doo pedals! Doo-doo! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed, and welcome to this, the 42nd episode of the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, founder of The Feast at My Merry Christmas, where we are in now our 24th year of being the world's largest Christmas community. The Merry Podcast is a joint production of Merry Christmas Radio and Kringle Radio, our two year-round radio stations dedicated to all things Christmas. You can find Merry Christmas Radio on Live 365 and Kringle Radio at kringleradio.com. It is October, a time of festive anticipation of Christmas, and we've got a lot in store for you in this episode. We've talked in the past of some of the crossover elements between Christmas and Halloween, and in this episode, we have another one for you, the grand legend and tradition of La Befana, a witch-like character from Italy who rivals Santa Claus for her generosity and gift-bringing traditions. And being October, it is time once again for a conversation about Black Friday. We share some insight on how Black Friday has changed and how you can get the most out of it this year. We also take a little stroll through the world of Disney in this episode and explore what Christmas is like at the Mouse House, or as some like to call it, the Rat Palace. Tracking Santa also gets a lot of attention from us this year, and we kick that off by having a conversation with one of the founders of Team Yansu, a band of Merry fans expert at the art of tracking Santa, and their plans for their tradition of YouTubing on Christmas Eve this year. This episode features a lot of Christmas music, including an exploration of the Christmas music and contributions of a small-town barber better known by the name of Perry Como. Kicking us off will be country artist J.D. Shelburne with his new song, It's Christmas Eve.
The year's almost over, seems like time moves so fast. Family and friends, are together at last. The temperature's falling and I feel the chill, but I love this season and I always will. Moonbeams are dancing on the new fallen snow. Light in the window gives a welcoming glow. Gifts in bright paper all piled by the tree. Finally I'm home and it's Christmas Eve. Turkey and dressing and warm pumpkin pie. Songs about sleigh bells and reindeer that fly. Soft Christmas kisses when kids go to bed, with sweet dreams of Santa feeling their heads. Moonbeams are dancing on the new fallen snow. Light in the window gives a welcoming glow. Gifts in bright paper all piled by the tree. Finally I'm home and it's Christmas Eve. Christmas, Merry Christmas. I wanna shout it out loud when the ones that I love are all gathered around. Moonbeams are dancing on the new fallen snow. Light in the window gives a welcoming glow. Gifts in bright paper all piled by the tree. Finally I'm home and it's Christmas Eve. Finally I'm home and it's Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Christmas has always been a time of home and family, at least for me. As a kid, if we traveled at Christmas, it was to the Sierra Nevada mountains in California to a cabin in the snow where we would put up our Christmas tree and celebrate Christmas just as we would at home, down from the alternative universe of California Christmas known as wind and sun, and if we were lucky, fog. But for others, the season of Christmas is one of travel. And destinations all over the world specialize in creating Christmas for those away from home. I got a taste for how much tourism dominates the agendas of some families when I worked at a ski resort in Utah while I was in college. It was a foreign idea completely to me to see families and couples vacationing under the glow of Christmas lights. I just didn't understand it. For many, of course, Christmas and New Year's represents a key vacation period. For some, because of personal or work situations that preclude summer travel, it is the time of year to get away, and many choose to do so. Among the more popular destinations at this time of the year is almost any tied to the Walt Disney Company, who has become expert at creating Christmas on the road to such a degree that for many, it isn't Christmas without going there. In exploring this topic, I have found both a lot of passion and loathing for Disney at Christmas. That's because Disney never sees more visitors than during the period when kids are on Christmas break. Yes, there are busy times during the summer months when folks are out of school, but Christmas is a compressed vacation time period, and the intensity of the crowds is never greater than at Christmas when you're visiting Disney. For some, that's part of the charm. the crowd-loving elements out there enjoy the parades, the fireworks, and the attractions more, it seems, when there are more people to celebrate Christmas with them. But what is it that Disney does to make Christmas so attractive that folks would want to brave such crowds? That's the question that has led us to explore a little more in depth about Christmas at Disney.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, at 9 o'clock this evening, we are proud to present the Very Merry Christmas Parade. This holiday pageant will feature characters from many of Walt Disney's classic motion pictures. That's the Very Merry Christmas Parade at 9 o'clock.
And all of us here at Disneyland are wishing you and yours Happy New Year.
First of all, there's the atmosphere, a Disney strength and even signature for a company that calls their employees cast members and the work they do on stage. Those who have visited Walt Disney World, particularly those who have stayed on property, can appreciate the detailed theming and uniqueness of each resort. Disney takes advantage of this during the holiday season and decks out each of the resorts in exquisite decorations that fit perfectly with these themes. Much like the parks, the decorations and displays at each resort are uniquely beautiful. The decor at the Polynesian Resort looks like Christmas in the South Seas. The Yacht Club and the Beach Club's decorations have the feel of classic American antiques. The Contemporary Resort boasts a stunning outdoor tree, while the tree at Pop Century glistens with sparkling LED lights. The tree at Animal Kingdom Lodge displays wildlife-themed ornaments, and the massive tree in the atrium at the Glen Floridian contains hundreds of turn-of-the-century items on its branches. A personal favorite for many is the Wilderness Lodge, where the decor takes on the style of a National Parks Lodge in the Northwest. Guests can take a carriage ride from there to Fort Wilderness Campground, where it is festooned in more of an Old West style, and campers bring their own Christmas decorations. Many of the resorts offer amazing displays of edible decorations. The Contemporary features a huge display of sweet treats every year. Gingerbread replicas of famous Hawaiian buildings are at the Polynesian, and the Beach Club boasts a working carousel made entirely of gingerbread. At the Grand Floridian Resort at Walt Disney World, there is a life-size gingerbread house where cast members sell baked goods from the inside. How's that for a page right out of Willy Wonka? Part of the decorations, of course, are all the Christmas lights. Walt Disney World's version of a Christmas light show is the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Much like Walt Disney's grand ideas, this light show started in the mind of one man, the late Jennings Osborne. The stunning spectacle started modestly in Arkansas as a single home annual display. Every year, Jennings and his family set up an elaborate collection of Christmas lights, not unheard of anywhere. Over time, the collection of lights grew and grew and grew. In 1995, the Osborne family decided to share their magic with the world. Walt Disney Resort happily offered to become the new permanent home for this exceptional exhibition of holiday cheer. On the streets of America, set at Disney's Hollywood Studios, millions of twinkling lights brighten up that whole side of the park, twinkling in time to classic Christmas songs. Guests can walk along the main drag and side streets to find surprise after breathtaking surprise. It's a true treat for those who enjoy light displays. Within the stunning holiday atmosphere that only Disney can create, there are a variety of special events, and none is bigger than Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. This is a separately ticketed affair with guests arriving in the late afternoon and regular park goers without tickets, well, they take a hike at about 7 p.m. Party guests enjoy shorter lines for attractions and a special parade and fireworks show. Several stations throughout the park offer cookies and hot chocolate, and carolers entertain on Main Street USA. One of the coolest features at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is the snow on Main Street, a unique treat, especially when the weather is warm, as it often is there in South Florida. At Epcot, there is an event called the Candlelight Processional. The Candlelight Processional is a tradition that dates back to Disney's early days at Disneyland. In the event's current form, a celebrity narrator tells the biblical Christmas story accompanied by a 50-piece orchestra, a choir of Walt Disney World cast members, and school choirs from around the nation. According to legend and an unpublished manuscript about the history of Disney Entertainment by Ron Logan, one day in 1958, Walt Disney supposedly remarked to his friend Dr. Charles Hurt of the University of Southern California, "We need Christmas carolers at Disneyland. Can't we have a choir assembled at the hub of Main Street by the railroad station in Town Square? Have them sing to the guests there, and I'll listen from my office over the fire station." So in December 1958, the first evening candlelight processional was held, with singers from 16 choirs moving down Main Street to the plaza, where they performed a full concert with the Dickens carolers singing from the Sleeping Beauty Castle balcony above. Celebrity narrators were introduced in 1961, with actor Dennis Morgan having the distinction of being the first one. He performed that role until 1964 and again in 1966. Dick Van Dyke, to help promote Mary Poppins, was the narrator in 1965. Over the years, other narrators have included some of Hollywood's biggest stars, including Cary Grant, who did it 5 times, Rock Hudson, who participated 6 different times, John Wayne and Buddy Ebsen, Howard Keel, John Forsythe, James Earl Jones — these guys all have great voices, by the way — Pat Boone, who sang "Go Tell It on the Mountain" as part of his narration, and lots of others. Howard Keel's presentation at Disneyland was filmed and shown later on the Disney Channel. Cary Grant and Rock Hudson both wanted to narrate the ceremony again and again and again, and they did it for free, historians are known to recall. Stormy rain clouds hovered over the ceremony in 1970 when Charlton Heston was the narrator. Hurt remembers that he looked at me and he said, "If I can part the Red Sea, then I can keep it from raining." And it did not rain on the ceremony that year.
Scenderà sui deserti del Maragià, dall'Alaska al Canada, e partire lei dovrà, e cantando partirà. Da Ciociara si vestirà, con il sacco arriverà, la bufera vincerà, e cantando trullalà la befana arriverà, trullalà, trullalà, trullalà. Un bambino, grande come un topolino, si è infilato nel camino per guardarla da vicino. Quando arriva la befana, senza denti, salta, balla, beve il vino, poi di nascosto s'allontana con la notte appiccicata alla sottana, e un vento caldo soffierà sui deserti del Maragià, dall'Alaska al Canada,
solo una stella brillerà e seguirla lei dovrà per volare verso il nord. E la strada è lunga ma la bufera vincerà. Se ne va e cantando trullalla, trullallero, trullalla, 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 trullalla.
This episode of the podcast is being recorded just before Halloween of 2014. Recently, I was participating in a family event of pumpkin hunting when a discussion broke out amongst my young nieces and nephews about Halloween costumes. My six-year-old niece made known her plans to become a witch for Halloween and then proceeded to question what a witch has to do with Halloween in the first place. I was tempted to engage in a conversation about some of the Halloween traditions of the occult and such, but thought better of it and instead told her of the Christmas legend of La Befana. La Befana is a primarily Italian Christmas legend, although the Russian figure of Babushka has a similar story. Following the traditional calendar of Advent, La Befana doesn't do her work on Christmas, but rather on Epiphany, or just before Three Kings Day on January 6th. But like Santa Claus, she is a gift bringer and a champion of children. Here is an old telling of her legend.
The legend of La Befana is from Italy. But the same story can be found in a Russian legend of Christmas entitled Babushka. Many, many years ago in a little village, there lived an old woman known to all her neighbors as La Befana. She was not very friendly because she was always so busy sweeping. She swept inside her little house, and she swept outside her little house. She would make a new broom in the morning, and before the sun had set, she would have worn it out, sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. That was the most important thing in the whole world, La Befana thought. One morning, she was up at daybreak as usual. Sweep, 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 went her little broom. Suddenly, there was a knock at her door. La Befana sighed impatiently. Now, who could that be at such an early hour? Her work was being interrupted, she thought as she reluctantly went to the door. She opened it just a crack and peered out. And then, in amazement, she flung it wide open, for there, in the early morning light, stood three kings. Their robes were the most beautiful colors La Befana had ever seen, and the fabrics were heavy and richly embroidered in gold and silver. On their heads were crowns with rubies and diamonds and emeralds, and each king had a costly gift in his hands. "We have lost our way," said one. "Can you direct us? We are seeking a young child who was born in Bethlehem. We have seen his star in the east and are journeying there so we may offer him our gifts. For it has been spoken by the prophets that one should be born who would be king." La Befana was amazed, for she too had heard of the prophecy. But she didn't know the direction to Bethlehem, because she had been too busy sweeping to go out of her dooryard. And so, she could only shake her head. The three kings started on their way. And then they stopped and turned back toward the little house. "Will you not come with us, old woman, so that you too may worship the young child?" La Befana was startled. "Go with them? Impossible. She hadn't yet finished her day's sweeping. So again, she only shook her head. But as the three kings walked away, La Befana wanted to explain to them why she couldn't go with them. She couldn't leave her work undone. That was the most important thing in the world. But she couldn't seem to find the right words to explain to them. So she stood there until they were out of sight. And then she went back to her work. But somehow, it didn't seem so important anymore. And her mind just wasn't on her sweeping. She found herself leaning on her broom, thinking, "Why didn't I go with the kings? I would like to see the little baby that the prophets have foretold would someday be king of the Jews." By evening, her mind was made up. Early the next morning, she started out to overtake the three kings. Without a backward glance at the little house which had meant so much to her, her face showed the happiness that was in her heart. Why, it was as if a great burden had been lifted from her, and that she had been freed from material cares and responsibilities. But sadly enough, the legend goes, La Befana never overtook the kings, nor did she ever reach Bethlehem. However, every place she stopped where there was a child, she would always leave a gift, hoping someday she would find the young babe the prophets told about. In Italy today, this legend is still remembered, and on January 5th, Italian children receive gifts in memory of those the Magi brought to the Christ child. And the one who brings these gifts is La Befana.
Italy, of course, is home to the Catholic Church, and the culture of the country for centuries has been married to the culture of the church. In Vatican City, a procession of hundreds of people in medieval costumes walk along the wide avenue leading up to the Vatican, carrying symbolic gifts for the Pope. The Pope says a morning mass in St. Peter's to commemorate the visit of the wise men bearing gifts for the baby Jesus. In Milan, there is an Epiphany parade of the three kings. In Florence, a living nativity is displayed. In towns and villages, in fact, all over Italy, there are processions and free concerts and nativity-themed events. La Befana is present at nearly every one of them. Many call Befana the Good Witch, because she is a giving individual who seeks out children to give them presents of candy and sweet things. Her broom is indicative of her tidy ways, a tool she uses as she, like Santa, descends down chimneys to bring presents while the kids are asleep. But is she a witch? It is a bit of a timeless question, because how does a witch become associated with the Catholic Church? Some historians, as they are wont to do with all things associated with Christmas, seek to tie Befana to paganism, and though she carries all the signs of being something dark and sinister, I cannot buy this stretch of Christmas into the legends of paganism. It just doesn't fit in the end. Unlike the Christmas tree or mistletoe, or even the date of December 25th, there is nothing even remotely pagan about Befana. They try to tie Befana to a branch of paganism known as stegeria, which is early Italian witchcraft, including the giving of gifts around the winter solstice. However, the riotous gift-giving of winter solstice is a far cry from the Christ-child-seeking traditions of La Befana. In looking at Old Testament writings of Isaiah, the practice of anticipating a Savior whose birth was accompanied by celestial signs speaks concretely of the foreknowledge that both La Befana and the Magi had of Christ.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. dashing through the snow, in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago,
I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Fry was seated by my side.
The horse was lean and lay.
Misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifted bank, and we got upset. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride
in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride
in a one-horse open sleigh.
Now the ground is white, go it while you're young. Take the girls tonight and sing the sleighing song. Just get a bob-tailed nag, 240 for his speed. Then hitch him to an open sleigh and crack, you'll take the lead.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Born to Italian immigrants, the seventh son of a seventh son in a family of 13 children overall, Perino Ronald Como got his musical training by learning the trombone, guitar, and organ as a child. He didn't learn to speak English until he was of school age because Italian was all that was spoken in the Como home. It was another time in America, a time when families worked together to survive, and with a family as large as the Como's, young Perry went to work in a barber shop at the age of 10. When he was 14, his father had to stop working due to a heart condition, and the Como brothers all worked to support the family from that point forward. And for young Perry, that meant putting away money for his own barbershop, which became his life ambition at that point. However, he enjoyed singing, and he let go of his barbershop ambition soon after high school, and his marriage to his high school sweetheart. Her name was Roselle Baleen. It didn't take long to prove that he had talent, and soon he landed a spot in the Freddie Carlone Orchestra, where he made $28 a week touring the Midwest. In 1937, he joined the Ted Weems Orchestra and was featured on the band's Beat the Band radio program. His career was on the rise, but with the start of World War II and the eventual breakup of Weems' band, Como found himself back in Canonsburg in a barbershop cutting hair, but not for long. CBS Radio soon offered him a weekly show at $100 a week, and RCA signed him to a recording contract that garnered him, for the next 14 years, 42 top 10 hits, a feat bettered only by Bing Crosby. In all, his career spanned 6 decades, and Como starred in every major medium of his time, from live big band to radio and records to television and even some acting. His Christmas music stands alongside Bing Crosby for tradition and longevity. Como recorded his first Christmas album in 1946 called Perry Como Sings Merry Christmas Music, and included with a variety of traditional songs was this number called That Christmas Feeling.
When the days of December are numbered and the earth begs the snowflakes to fall. That's the time of the year that Christmas is here, with peace and goodwill for all. How I love that Christmas feeling. How I treasure its friendly glow. See the way a stranger greets you, just as though you'd met him Christmases ago. Christmas helps you to remember to do what other folks hold dear. What a blessed place the world would be if we had that Christmas feeling all year. Christmas helps you to remember to do what other folks hold dear. What a blessed place the world would be if we had that Christmas feeling.
Cuomo tried making the jump from radio to film, something Crosby had done and later Sinatra would successfully pull off, but Perry Cuomo was never comfortable with acting. When presented with the opportunity to do television in 1949, ironically, he did so because back then it was still live entertainment, and he figured he could just be himself, and he was. His shows were successful, so much so that they took to calling him Mr. Saturday Night, where he competed with Jackie Gleason for an audience. In 1951, Cuomo had his first Christmas hit with this song written by Meredith Willson and performed with the Fontaine Sisters.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again,
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start.
And the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
In 1954, Como released a song written by Robert Allen and Al Stillman titled There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays, which topped out at number 8 on the Billboard chart and would become Perry Como's biggest Christmas song. There are actually two famous Como recordings of this song, the 1954 version and this one, recorded in stereo and with a completely different arrangement for his 1959 album, Season's Greetings with Perry Como.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, 'cause no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home. I met a man who lives in Tennessee. He was heading for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific, gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, 'cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
Take a bus, take a train, go and hop an aeroplane, put your wife and kiddies in the front seat, and have a family car. For the pleasure that you bring when you make that doorbell ring, no trip could be too far.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee. He was heading for
Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie.
Some pumpkin pie.
From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore.
From Atlantic to Pacific,
gee, the traffic is terrific.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, 'cause no matter how far away you roam,
if you want to be happy in a million ways,
for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home. For the holidays you can't be home, sweet home.
That Christmas album was Como's sixth long play album overall. It's warm and relaxed in Como's signature style that has continued to sell well more than 50 years after it was released. It cannot be understated just how big of an entertainer Como was in the 1950s. With his constant exposure on television, radio, and on records, Como was popular across a broad range of demographics. In 1956, when Life magazine conducted a poll of young women of who they held up as the ideal husband for the times, it was Perry Como. In 1958, teenagers identified not with Elvis Presley, who was at the height of his popularity, but Perry Como was identified as the most popular singer of the time. At one point, Como's television show was broadcast in 12 countries around the world. He was a superstar of international acclaim. When Como took his Kraft Music Hall Christmas show to the Vatican, he was able to arrange through Pope Paul VI to shoot segments in never-before-seen Vatican gardens, and Como not only featured the first-ever television appearance of the Sistine Chapel Choir, but he became the first non-choir member ever to sing with them. Como's real mark on Christmas and Christmas music was made on television through annual Christmas specials featuring contemporary artists. From 1974, here is Perry Como with Karen Carpenter.
Sleep well, little children, wherever you are. Tomorrow beneath every star, soon the snowflakes will fall, and tomorrow you'll see every wish, one and all, waiting under the tree.
Sleep well, little children, pleasant dreams through the night. Tomorrow is Christmas, all men want. Soon you'll hear your bells ring. Time for dreams to come true. As the world wakes to bring Merry Christmas to
Over the years, Perry Como would take his Christmas specials on the road, covering everywhere from the Vatican to the Holy Land and from Hawaii to Hollywood. When you consider the flashier artists Como was put up against, Crosby and Sinatra, Elvis, Andy Williams, and even Dean Martin, you see a career that has outlasted all the others with remarkable consistency, style, and goodness. Como never fit the mold of big Hollywood stars. He wasn't controversial. He was never involved in a scandal, and he never engaged in a debate. He was married to the same woman until she passed in 1998, and he remained true to his style despite the clearly changing dynamics of the great American songbook. In the end, he said, "I've done nothing that I can call exciting. I was a barber. Since then, I've been a singer. That's it." As they used to say back then, we say now, sing it, Mr. C.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green. Here we come a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year. We are not daily beggars that go from door to door, but we are friendly neighbors whom you have seen before. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too, and God bless you and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year. We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good tidings to you wherever you are, good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green. Here we come a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad.
Merry Christmas too, and God bless you and send you a Happy New Year, and God send you a Happy New Year.
We are not daily beggars that go from door to door, but we are friendly neighbors who you have seen before.
Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too, and God bless you and send you a Happy New Year, and God send you a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas,
we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
Reaching into our mailbag from the last episode of the Merry Podcast, we received a lot of feedback on the segment we did on the Muppet Christmas Carol. It's a very popular movie, and we had a lot of mail that we received that were along the lines of, well, you should have talked about this, or you should have talked about that. But the most common thread I saw amongst the emails that we received was a lack of discussion about the song When Love Is Gone. And one emailer accused me of not including the song because I only talk about what I want to talk about on the Merry Podcast. And that's partially right, at least in this case, and that's true. I can't stand that song. But there is some controversy out there, and there is some love for that song. So we will get to that in a future episode of the Merry Podcast. In the meantime, we will play something current, something contemporary, something brand new for you from a group that has kind of taken Christmas music by storm. Last year, their video release of Little Drummer Boy has kind of reimagined that entire song and has made it new for an entire new generation. This year, they've got a whole brand new album. The group is called Pentatonics, and the song is called That's Christmas to Me.
The fireplace is burning bright, shining all on me. I see the presents underneath the good old Christmas tree. And I wait all night till Santa comes to wake me from my dreams. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. I see the children play outside like angels in the snow. Well, Mom and Daddy share a kiss under the mistletoe. And we'll cherish all these simple things wherever we may be. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. The stockings by the Christmas tree. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me.
I listen for the thud of reindeer walking on the roof. As I fall asleep to lullabies, the morning's coming soon.
The only gift I'll ever need is the joy of family. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. I'm hanging all the stockings by the Christmas tree. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Is
that's Christmas to me.
I've got this Christmas song in my heart.
I've got the candles glowing in the dark.
And then for years to come we'll always know one thing.
That's the love that Christmas can bring.
Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me.
There is already one new video from this album that was released in the past week by Pentatonix. You can see links to that and to their official website and purchase links for the song you just heard. Indeed, the album of the same name, That's Christmas to Me. You can catch that on our website at mymerrychristmas.com.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, we all love you, Santa Claus. With your bright red suit and your long white beard, your floppy hat that covers your ears, Santa Claus, you're the best. You carry your presents in a sack and you put them under the tree. Hope you bring one for me. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, we all love you, Santa Claus. You fly through the sky on a shiny sleigh, your reindeers pull you all the way. Santa Claus, you're a magic man. You can crawl through keyholes, walk through walls, go up and down chimneys, but that's not all. Santa Claus, you can disappear. We're gonna leave you a glass of milk and a cookie on a plate. Santa Claus, please don't be late. 'Cause all the little boys and all the little girls in every little place all around the world, they're waiting for you, Santa Claus. Yes, all the little boys and all the little girls in every little place all around the world, they're waiting for you, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, we all love you, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, we all love you, Santa Claus. We all love you, Santa Claus.
Joining us on the line now from the headquarters of Team Yansu is Patrick Covey, one of the founding members of that intrepid group of famous Santa Trackers. Patrick, just by way of introduction, why don't you tell us who you are and what it is that you guys do?
Team Yansu is the YouTube Association of NORAD Track Santa users. We track Santa with the NORAD Track Santa program for the past few years. And we got our start on YouTube back in about 2009 on YouTube, back when they used to have a YouTube group feature, which has since been disbanded on there. We just kind of met together, a bunch of us who are big fans, hardcore fans of the NORAD Track Santa program, and we decided to go ahead and start our own group, which eventually led us to the idea of doing our own web show.
Okay, so how does this work? You guys get together to track Santa. What happens when you're together online?
Well, during our live web show, we work in coordination with NORAD Track Santa, and we take the live locations off their map, and we stream them to our thousands of viewers live who are watching us. And we also use social media to get out the locations and any information we need to give to our fans.
So if you're out there on Christmas Eve, this brings the world of tracking Santa together, right?
Yes, that is correct. We stream from 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so we're live for 15 hours. And so anytime throughout the day, anybody can come on and join us as we track Santa, whether you're pretty much anywhere in the world that Santa takes off to the point where he goes almost to sleep and makes it back to the North Pole. We're pretty much screaming the entire time.
So this is really like a giant Christmas Eve party.
That's correct. It's a big party with a bunch of people who enjoy tracking Santa.
What is it that you guys do during these 15 hours?
We stream Santa locations, we play Christmas music, we take requests, and we interact with our viewers through our various methods, including Skype. We actually take Skype calls as well. I forgot to mention this earlier. And we actually get time to talk with the viewers and ask them what they want for Christmas. They can share some of their best favorite Christmas stories, some of their worst Christmas stories, and just all the great fun that Christmas has to offer.
How far does this go? How many people and from what parts of the world do folks come from to track Santa with you?
We've talked to countries such as Mexico, as well as the other countries, the main countries, U.S., Canada, and the U.K. I'm trying to think of some other countries we've talked to. I think we talked to one in Russia. We've talked to a lot in Scandinavian countries. There's a bunch of European countries to come in, such as Germany and Italy and Spain. And we've had people as far away as Australia, Japan, and New Zealand come in as well.
What's your favorite moment of investing 15 hours every Christmas Eve tracking Santa with folks around the world?
Honestly, one of my favorite moments is right as we get right near the end of the stream. The people who stay with us the entire day, as the night's just winding down, you feel a great sense of joy that you've accomplished a great mission of bringing a bunch of people together for something fun right near the end of the stream. Typically, I end the stream, or I have it in past years at least, at close to 11 p.m., and it's just a great feeling to know that you've made someone's day a little bit better.
Well, this sounds like a ton of fun. Where can folks get more information?
If you'd like to learn more information about us, you can head over to our website at santatracking.net, which is powered by us at Team Yansu. If you'd like to check out our social media, you can follow us at the YouTube Association of NORAD Track Santa Users on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Team Yansu. And Google Plus, you can follow us at Yansu Track Santa.
You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
You have to go back to one of our original episodes of the Merry Podcast, Thanksgiving 2011, I believe, to hear the last time we talked about Black Friday. At that time, it was done in two parts. We addressed a little of the history of Black Friday, and then we talked about what to expect of Black Friday for Christmas 2011. To listen to that episode now, you'd think it was 100 years ago. That is how much Black Friday has changed in just 3 years. For me, it seems ages ago when we would head out in the dead of night on Black Friday morning, usually around 4 a.m., just to partake in the energy and excitement of the moment. It was part deal hunting, part family time together, part people watching, part Christmas shopping, and all of it was just part of a grand weekend of not going to school. Yes, kids, I am young enough to remember a different Black Friday altogether. After the meal and the football games were over on Thanksgiving, and after the first round of pies were consumed, we would play board games around the kitchen table into the wee hours of the night. After about midnight, we'd have to whisper to keep from waking the old folks who had gone to bed, and we vowed to stay up all night long playing those games with siblings and cousins. As a teen, the years of heading out in the car for an early morning Christmas-like road trip seemed like just an extension of these grand traditions of Thanksgiving. It was never really about shopping. Oh, I do recall a time or two spending some money on Black Friday, but most of the time we were disappointed to find that we could never be the first in line to get the deals. They would all be gone by the time we got there, and Black Friday instead became more of an event of just being together and mocking the insanity around us. Black Friday is different now than it was when I was a teen. It is different now than it was when I was a young married man. It is different now than it was in the teen years of my oldest children, and it is different now than it was even in 2011 when we last talked about it on the Merry Podcast. It is even different now than it was last year. The differences we see in Black Friday and how it has evolved has led to a few divisions amongst us. We now have moral dilemmas to debate when it comes to Black Friday. Should we shop on Thanksgiving Day? Do we support businesses that provide jobs for our kids, but at the same time take them from us on family holidays? And what are the conditions those retail workers find themselves facing when it comes to Christmas shoppers? In a word, is all of this okay?
Come on, come on, come on, come on, go shopping, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? We must go shopping Black Friday. We shop right up till Christmas Day. Singing jingle all the way. I'm going shopping till I lay down on the ground and I cry. I'm going shopping till there's nothing left to buy for you and I.
It would be easy to adopt the attitude that Black Friday is just a fool's errand. It would be easy to scrooge it up to say bah humbug to what it has become simply because it's not what we remember. The real question is whether or not it can again be what we thought it once was. History teaches us this lesson. If we think Black Friday is merely a phenomenon of the past 50 years, we're sorely mistaken. We've talked many times over the history of the Merry Podcast about the element of shopping and consumerism in the history of Christmas. We know that the first Santa Claus emerged in department stores as far back as the 1840s, that shopping for Christmas has been a seasonal pastime, really, since the mid-19th century, and that every generation since that time, in periods of peace and war, have enjoyed their own unique form of gifting, spending, and shopping as part of their Christmas celebration. So let's not get caught in the trap of thinking that Black Friday is dead or that it will go away. Let's dismiss protesting what it has become. Let's refrain from further politicizing it and preaching for or against it or in editorializing how it is ruining Christmas. Christmas actually has very little to do with it, unless we can find ways to adapt Black Friday to the many ways we celebrate Christmas now. In my mind, there are two schools of thought when it comes to Christmas shopping and Black Friday anyway. For some, it is a necessary economic reality of our times. I can recall as a young father with a large family being able to buy winter coats at Sears for all my kids for about $50, for all of them, not $50 a piece. And that only came on Black Friday. Now, that's not what most people think of when they think of the early morning frenzy and the one-of-a-kind great deals we most associate with televisions and computers and video games. I can remember buying those coats and having almost no competition for them and being so excited, like I had won the Super Bowl, and grateful to have such a deal. For some, Black Friday and the associated sales of the season are something beneficial. We just never hear those stories. For others, it is a matter of tradition and family fun. It is just when Christmas shopping is done. There are real issues of budgeting, saving money, spending money, and gifting to face, and the Black Friday season now is a time to take care of that. The other school of thought is that Christmas shopping and perhaps Black Friday remains a together activity of the season, a time to socialize, to be together, to drink in the elements of the season in environments with people that we enjoy being with people that we love.
Ooh. everybody was Christmas shopping. Every night and day never stopping. In fact, it was a little bit shocking, filling up another Christmas stocking. It's the same in every town, they were running up and down. Now you could always go online, but they haven't just got the time. Anything would do, just as long as it makes a dream come true. It doesn't matter if times are hard, we can pay with credit card. Everybody was Christmas shopping, every night and day never stopping. In fact, it was a little bit shocking, filling up another Christmas stocking. Yeah, we hope you're having fun, ain't forgotten anyone. It's the last chance to choose, you ain't got no time to lose. A present for your sister, a present for your brother, a present for a friend, and don't forget your lover. Everybody was Christmas shopping,
Christmas shopping.
Every night and day never stopping,
never stopping.
In fact, it was a little bit shocking,
little bit shocking.
Filling up another Christmas stocking. Shocking,
little bit shocking.
Filling up another Christmas stocking.
But here's the thing about Black Friday you need to know for this year and what it is now. First of all, the economy today is not what it was even 10 years ago. And there is a cumulative effect for Christmas season after Christmas season in the economic dumper. There are some chickens coming home to roost, and the signals from Christmas 2014 are not looking good economically. Consider this. Amazon just this week, not even the last week of October 2014, released a grim outlook for the Christmas season. And that's pretty shocking news. Amazon is opening their first retail store this year, you know, an actual store that you can walk into. Now, they are an online company, and they are one all the other retailers online and offline to test, because they control not only Black Friday, but also Cyber Monday, the online equivalent of Black Friday. Also consider the news that Kmart this week has announced store closings and the loss of about 6,000 jobs to happen before Christmas this year. All of this is really bad news, and something folks have not been anticipating. Now, it's become a tradition for retail forecasters to give rosy predictions for Christmas months in advance, only to change them in January. In recent years, it's become almost laughable. And sure enough, the Retail Federation is predicting a 4.5% sales increase this year. So why the disconnect? Why is Amazon giving bad news while others are predicting a big improvement over last year? Well, Amazon has never made money, folks. It has billions in investors, and if those investors are going to lose even more, they need to know about that now. Last year, it was kind of explainable. Thanksgiving was closer to Christmas, giving fewer shopping days during a tough season. There was an excuse. This year, there is no excuse. They know what is going to happen. So does Sears and Walmart and Target and others. There are fears about credit card breaches, such as what took place last Christmas at Target and later this past year at Home Depot. There are fears about Ebola. There are fears about terrorism. There are concerns about the high prices of food and other staples that will impact Christmas spending. online retailers have to contend with the fiasco that was Christmas shipping last year. So many people like Amazon and Walmart made last-minute shipping promises that UPS and FedEx could not back up. A lot of people got their Christmas stuff after Christmas last year. That burned a lot of people, and nobody knows how that will shift spending trends this year. With another midweek Christmas, the potential to overwhelm the system again is great, and it is probably going to happen again. UPS is so fearful of that happening that it is asking retailers to curtail the last-minute specials and to spread out distribution channels to offset what is coming. The overall economic picture is terrible. They say that we are in recovery, but when you talk to real folks, well, they just don't see it. Forget the stuff you're hearing about gas prices. Gas prices are entirely manipulated to bottom out in December, precisely so that the government and the media can say things are cheap. Employment is a real mess. The real unemployment rate is near 15%, while underemployment is off the charts. People simply have less money to spend on Christmas, and every retailer out there knows it. At least at this point, Amazon is admitting it. And that, my friends, is the real reason for all the changes to Black Friday. It is not about increasing sales. Last year, when the whole shop on Thanksgiving thing really exploded, sales on Black Friday went down, not up. That was after a season of blockbuster and doorbuster sales starting as early as Halloween in some markets and well after Thanksgiving. So what does that mean about prices and Black Friday-like specials before Christmas this year? What it means is that you need to decide how much you will spend and what you will buy before you ever step foot in a store or click on a link. Realize that there is a psychology to when you spend money as much as how much you spend. They will be targeting for massive crowds on Thanksgiving and the day after. Those won't necessarily be the days of the best deals. Those best deals are likely to come in the weeks before Thanksgiving when people are not in the stores, depending upon what it is that you need to buy. So do some homework. Use your internet at home and on your phone to constantly check for changes. It could save you a lot of money, and things will change quickly. Some have asked where to find the best information on the specifics of spending. If you are looking for a competitive price chart comparing the same model television, forget it. You're never going to find it. And if you trust a few websites out there that specialize in Black Friday tracking and breaking news, these guys, BFAds.net being the most famous, are now nothing more than affiliate advertisers for those ads that they feature. They do collect revenue every time you click on a link on their site that goes to, say, Target or Walmart or Kmart or whoever. They are in the back pocket of retailers, just another channel for them to advertise through. Now, back in the day, BF Ads used to get sued by retailers for running their ads week in advance. You don't hear about that anymore because these entities work together for the sake of revenue, not necessarily saving people money. So where are those sites to get really useful information when you're researching one brand of an item against another? Places such as DealNews.com tend to be more reliable than the Black Friday sites that are out there. So basically, you're on your own, and we recommend using social media, Twitter, Facebook, even the Merry forums, and ask others what they are finding and what they are doing. That's where the real savings on shopping, honestly, might be found.
You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
If you are an artist with music to share, or perhaps an expert with an idea for the Merry Podcast that you'd like to get out there, please don't hesitate to email me, Jeff@MyMerryChristmas.com, to discuss the possible inclusion of your Christmas with our audience here on the Merry Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this Merry episode, and we invite you to take in every past episode archived online for us at ChristmasPodcast.com.
We thank all the artists and contributors who have made this episode of the Merry Podcast possible, including John Schmidt, who provides our theme music for this and every episode, and also J.D. Shelburne, Perry Como, The Walt Disney Company, Dan Jennings, Mousesavers.com, Steely Dan, Squire Hogg, Santa and His Christmas Crackers, Gianni Morandi, and AJ Jenkins. We also thank Team Yansu and their site, SantaTracking.net. For all the associated sites of the Merry Network and MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.